All right. Well, we're here with Bethany Garth with First Choice this morning, and we're so happy to have you here. Sorry, I got you in the middle of breakfast, but why don't you just start and give us just an update on the climate. I know there's a lot going on. I've read some news stories. So yeah. Bring us up to speed.
Yeah. So just in the past couple of weeks, a few things that are happening on the abortion front or pro-life front is, and you've probably heard, but we're literally taking this one day at a time, but there's basically the use of mifepristone, which is, let me back up and explain the abortion pill, which I've talked a lot about, is really where a lot of the landscape has shifted. In 2021, more than half of abortions in the U.S. already were done with the abortion pill, and the estimates are that since Dobbs, it's closer to 70%. So while Dobbs was being argued before the Supreme Court in 2021, the FDA fast-tracked this use of the abortion pill without an in-person requirement. So it was waived for COVID, and then they made it a permanent situation that you no longer have to go in person to an abortion clinic. You can do a telehealth visit, which I know a lot of you were probably at our banquet, so I bought abortion pills that I ordered online just to prove how easy it is to get them, even if you're in a state where abortion is illegal. So the abortion pill is mifepristone first, which mifepristone cuts off the progesterone supply to the uterus. So essentially that's what kills the baby. And then the second drug is misoprostol, which is usually taken 48 hours later. Misoprostol expels the baby from the uterus, so it basically induces the miscarriage, so or abortion. So in the last 2 weeks, what's been happening is the use of mifepristone, which is the first of the two drugs, has been revoked by a judge in Texas and then a judge in Washington. Did a counter argument. Y'all probably followed some of this, but and so then last week, they reverted it to the status of the drug in 2016, which was that it could only be used up to 7 weeks, and that an three in-person visits were going to be required, which is an initial visit and like taking the drug, and then a follow-up visit, which would be amazing. They should require follow-up care. I mean, like, these people are coming to us for follow-up care right now. They're calling us, asking if they can get ultrasounds to see if the abortion pill works, which is just really disturbing. And we say, you need to go back to the provider who gave you an abortion pill. Well, they're in North Carolina, because they live out of state for their abortion. Anyway. So, mifepristone is currently what's up for debate, and as of today, it is back to normal, so up to 10 weeks, and I think that the in-person requirement is waived, but that's just a temporary ruling until the Supreme Court decides what's going to happen while the case is being appealed. So by tomorrow, they're going to make it, well, we expect everybody has to have their stuff in by today. We're expecting some kind of temporary ruling tomorrow. Anyway, all that to say, that's a lot. It's getting very technical. But here's my point, is that legislatively, abortion will always be a moving target. And we were like sending out staff updates because we've got to give our clients accurate information. And I'm like changing it every day. I'm like, oh, this is what it is now. And just, while I don't devalue legislative efforts and like politics or downstream and culture, like there's value in that. I'm not discrediting our political efforts, but I continue to come back to just the importance of the care and compassion and the hope that we offer a woman who's facing an unplanned pregnancy, because that's not a moving target. And the other thing that's not a moving target is what she's going to find on her phone when she searches for an abortion, because that's where we've got to show up. So, you know, currently we're still getting, we're getting probably 80 to 100 calls every month from people who are calling saying, can I get an abortion? Are you guys doing abortions? can I schedule an abortion today? Like, those kinds of calls are still coming in. Now, some of them are from out of state, and some of them are local, and that doesn't even include our text. Like, we also have a texting page on our website that you can text in for an appointment. So we have texts coming in every day. Can I schedule an abortion? You know, so people just don't. They don't know what the law is, but B, I just, you know, it's not, it cannot be an exclusively legislative effort. That's just not going to make it go away. And I'll say all of that is apart from what's happening on the black market with these drugs. I wrote a very disturbing article, and this was back in the fall, about how these drugs are coming from Mexico. There's a whole group in Mexico of, like, you know, the female liberators, and, like, they're intentionally packaging these drugs to be sold on the black market in the U.S. So we can't even track the number of abortions that are happening with the abortion pills. So, to answer your question, yes, there's a lot that's going on.
I heard just the other day that on someone on TV saying that 1 out of 10 women who take methamphetamine go to the emergency room. I've never heard that before.
I mean,
that would be amazing if it's that bad.
And that's documented. So when I ordered my abortion pill, I went to a website that gave me instructions on how to do it because I lived in a state where abortion was restricted. And obviously it's a very pro-choice website, but on the instructions, it specifically told me, now this wasn't from the provider, this is on the website that told me how to get it from a provider. I ordered it legally through a provider in California, and I did telehealth, but I never had to be on the phone or on a screen with the person. It was all the disclaimers were set to me via text. So that was, but that was the provider. This third-party website is telling you all your options for how to get abortion pills if you're living in this place. So what they also say on this website, there's like a whole paragraph about how if you have any complications or if you have any difficulty, like still go to the emergency room, but you don't have to tell them that you took this drug. You don't have to tell them, and they can't do a blood test. So you're fine just telling your experiencing a miscarriage. So they're encouraging people to lie to providers, so we really are going to never know the numbers because people are discouraged from being honest with the providers.
I mean, when they present to an emergency room and don't tell them what they've done, is the treatment the same or can they
be the same? So there's no repercussions for them lying about it. Because I asked our medical director that. I said, is this true? She's like, unfortunately, it's true. So the dishonesty is not going to affect their care, except for that it's a bad practice to not be honest with your medical provider.
Well, even though if you tell, I mean, it's not like they can tell anybody else. I mean, why would you not? I mean, you know, because then you have
because you're afraid of being prosecuted.
And it's benefit.
Because you're in a state where abortion, you just did something illegal. You
do they have to.
The woman isn't prosecuted, the provider is.
Okay.
The woman isn't criminalized by any of the laws that are currently on the books. Women are not criminalized, abortion providers are. So the woman is not committing a crime, the abortion provider has that expensive medication. But nobody knows that. Like, nobody knows. I mean, I say nobody knows. They're still calling for abortions. And I'm like, where do you live that you didn't know that it was illegal? I mean, all this uproar, you know, that they have no idea.
I did just hear that Florida was changing their law.
Yes,
a
they
little
will
bit.
Move it to a 6-week ban.
Yeah.
But it's not in effect yet. That should probably be in a few weeks because there's another case that's in their current court system. And once that settles, the 6-week ban will go into effect. So it's signed on Friday, I think it was, or maybe Saturday. So it is on the books, but it's not in effect.
So they'll still have the clinics.
They'll still have the clinics.
And so they can track that because they'll do ultrasound.
But abortion clinics in Florida, I mean, it's just kind of an interesting, again, the landscape ever changing, ever evolving. But in Georgia, it's a 6-week ban. But like we found, my personal opinion, which there's a wide range of opinions. So this is Bethany's not perfect stance or anything. But like I personally don't love the 6-week ban because people feel so rushed. So they don't feel like they have time to make a decision, whereas, and then also when we do an ultrasound, they don't see anything, right? Because you don't see anything before 6 weeks. So what we had, so for example, on Thursday, I saw an abortion-minded client who came to our staff location, and I talked to her. She really didn't have a super compelling reason. I talked to her, you know, we come up with these lists of questions to ask people that are kind of open-ended. So I asked her, I was like, well, when do you believe life begins? You know, just to try and probe her. She looked down and she's like, I don't think I can answer that. But like, she still made up her mind. You know, so we had a good conversation, but she's like, I'm still going to have an abortion. She came for an ultrasound yesterday and didn't see anything because she's only 4 weeks, 5 days. Mm-hmm. So you can barely see a gestational sac on good scan. Well, that's not compelling. Mm-hmm. You know, the compelling part of an ultrasound is when you see the little heartbeat. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to see that at 4.5 weeks. So she's planning to go to Georgia today. Well, they don't feel like they can wait for a good ultrasound because if they wait till there's a heartbeat, they can't get it done in Georgia. So to me, if we're going to allow it at all, give them till 8 or 10 weeks to make the decision, because what we always found in the past was like having the ability to coach them to take time usually benefited the client and the baby. They were more likely to choose life if they had time to make a decision. But when they feel so rushed, they're in a panic and they're just dashing over to Atlanta and having a procedure. So unfortunately, I mean, will it reduce the number of abortions if possible? Because, you know, but they say 70% of abortions in Florida are done 5 or 6 weeks anyway. So I don't know how much of it, I don't know how much of it's going to matter, honestly. So while I appreciate pro-life legislation, sometimes I think on the ground the outworkings aren't always that helpful to the woman who's considering the pregnancy decision. So that's been tough to process through. And so what we've talked about in our prayer things for this year, we've really made a shift. You know, for probably 15 years, the whole goal was to get them to an ultrasound. You know, that was like the culture of our, like, if we can just talk them into coming for an ultrasound. And now we've shifted to saying the ultrasound is really only a mechanism to get them in the door. So when they call, we tell them you need to have an ultrasound before you have an abortion. And the emphasis has gone back to kind of like the old days to the conversation that we have. So we're really working internally on how can we enhance the quality of those conversations? How can we better equip our volunteers, our staff, giving them practical tools to have meaningful and impactful conversations? And that's really why we put that on our prayer request for this year, because ultimately, like, we need God to give us influence in those conversations. Like, that's not something we can generate apart from the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So we're just really asking the Lord to use those conversations. Where in the past, we really depended on ultrasounds as the tool. Now we're really looking at the conversation and support we provide in that moment. So
tell us a little bit about how y'all take them when they, you know, they do come and they decide to have their baby and the support you give them, you know, from that point on. I love that.
Yeah, so, you know, we have the parenting classes and we have men's ministry. So, you know, big picture is it's not just about saving babies but about building families. So we have video-based classes for our moms, and in the past year, we've added really a group class component, just recognizing the need not only to educate but to build community with our clients, give them a chance to sit around the table together and get to know each other and build relationships. So earlier this year, we did an Eating Smart, Being Active class with the Extension Office that they came in and provided. We did a breastfeeding class a few weeks ago, pediatric dentistry class, you know, just like little 1 to 2 hour classes. We've done 2 childbirth education classes. So we've really been trying to think, how can we put people, again, in this community environment to learn together while still keeping, we still have the video-based classes, because that's really, for some of our clients, the only thing that works is for them to have that, what their work schedule changes or whatever, that's something that they can commit to regularly. And can kind of control the time. So, and then, you know, they're earning the baby supplies as they participate. And then we actually this year got a grant for our fatherhood program. So we're really excited because we've got some new tools for connecting with our dads. And we have just hired a new, our previous fatherhood coordinator lived overseas to be a missionary. Taron is gone, but we just hired a new guy who's working with our dads. And it's funny, you know, the Lord brings different people in different seasons, and we were sad to lose Taron. We're thankful Taron, you know, was an African American man, and that was very helpful, just to connect with the culture that we dominantly serve. Now we have Robert, who is kind of an older white dad, and he's great. You know, he's just kind of nerding out over it. He's like, oh, this is so fun. And he's like, this is such a great discipleship opportunity. And the guy's really loving. So, you know, it's just, the Lord is not restricted by our cultural or racial barriers. So I'm just thankful to see how he provided, too. We didn't have a single day where we didn't have a man on staff. So before Taron left, we were able to hire Robert. They worked together for a couple of weeks before Taron moved on. So
I need a new cover.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're super thankful.
I just think it's so neat that a lot of times when they come in, they're unsure it's because they don't have the support system that we had, you know, or those that we weren't faced with. Kind of problems that you kind of give them that support system can really change the drives out.
Yeah, I know. I always say, you know, I've had 3 babies, and when I did, you know, people from church brought me dinner for 6 weeks. Yeah. Had me take church water coming, and like on top of that, my husband came home every night, and I knew how we were going to pay the bills. So if you strip away all that, P.S., I was still overwhelmed. Oh my goodness, this tiny human is depending on me for survival. So, you know, I think if we really think about the lack of support they have, we can really understand why they are overwhelmed.
I just never thought that until you said it. It's an interesting way to address that.
Yeah. Do we have any questions online here? I have one other update.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I was going to say, you know, we hired a school program director.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so we're so excited about God's provision. Her name is Candy Wagner, and Candy, we hired her at the end of February, and it was really just the Lord's timing. She was in the Air Force and got out because of some family dynamics and needing to stay here. So Candy has just an incredible testimony of how God worked in her life, and I won't go into all of that, but she does have a history of, she's 27, she has experienced sexual assault and worked with sexual assault victims in advocacy while she was in the Air Force. And just has a real passion. She, you know, says, if somebody had provided this kind of education to me, there's a very good chance I would make some different choices in my adolescence. So Candy started the end of February. We immediately sent her to Denver. She got certified to teach a curriculum. The curriculum that we're using is designed, it's by a faith-based organization, but it's designed for public schools, and it is sexual risk avoidance. But it's not just about sexual health. It's about the whole person. So making good decisions in your relationships, understanding your own emotions, looking for red flags, having healthy boundaries, all of these things that build up and lead to this concept of, you know, your sexual health being a part of your person and the decisions that you make, how those, I mean, it's just, it's a great, it came with 80 lessons, and Candy is so excited about it. She wants to teach the whole thing, and I was like, you just can't. Nobody has done that. But Candy also goes to Flatline Church,
And so already just seeing the Lord's favor, she has connections. Flatline has a lot of favor in our public schools. So Dwayne Rimberg is actually the recommender of Candy to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so already he's made some connections with some local schools. She's going to be going to Lee High School in May. So already an open door. Now our goal is to target middle schools.
Okay.
But I told her, I was like, look, if they're inviting, we're not going to stay. Okay. But look, just a side story. So Candy and I, went together. I've been trying to go with her to some of the school visits. We visited Carver, but she's also been going with some of the Flatline youth workers. So they've got a youth guy that's been going with us because he knows some of these principals and, so he was the one who got us in the door at Lee. So I went with her to meet with the school counselor at Lee. And we went, I think it was a Tuesday afternoon, we went at like 1:05, okay? We get in the counselor's office, we're sitting there talking for maybe 5 minutes. And then there was this loud ruckus in the hallway, and the counselor kind of jumps up and she's like, excuse me, I'm definitely in the hall for transition. I need to be out there, I think there's a fight. And you could hear kind of the noise in the hallway. I'm sitting there looking at Candy, and she's looking at me, and then after you could hear the fight kind of erupt and then kind of settle, and then there was a girl that came into the guidance office, not where we were, but a different part of it, was belligerent, screaming for like 10 minutes. You know, and so just like, there's no emotional regulation, there's no, it, like it was a bad situation, and I thought, these kids do this every day. This is their life. And I've also heard since then, when Lee High School, I'm zoned for Lee High School. No, we're not going to Lee High School, but that's where we're zoned for. So I was talking to one of my neighbors whose son goes there, and she's like, I told him don't talk to anybody, but she's like, it's not uncommon for parents to fight in the parking lot. Like, they have to have extra police there when school gets out, because parents will get out of car in the car line and, like, start fights with each other. So these kids are carrying this from home into school, and it's just like, it's so broken. So broken. And I told Candy and I sat there and we were like, okay, I mean, this is, we're really going to do something here. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, Bethany, I think if I come, when I come to her school, it would be good if I brought Eric, who's from Flatline, with me. And I was like, I think that would be helpful.
Yeah.
You know? But we sat there and I told her afterwards, I said, Candy, I really believe you're who God has called to do this because you did not panic in that moment. I mean, I was sitting here going, this is great. Like, we're going to do something. All right, like, we are charging into enemy territory. And maybe we're only going to go in and talk for a couple hours, but like, we're going to have a presence in one of the most broken places in Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
On a topic that nobody's talking about, these kids.
Right.
Like, there's so much sexual brokenness in these kids' lives and the parents' lives. Do I think that suddenly everybody's going to choose abstinence? No, I don't, but we're going to be a voice in there, and they're going to get first source information of why they're at it, you know? And so I just told her, I was like, Candy, I believe God has called you to do this, because you and I, we sat there, we were like, all right, this is good. Like, look at that, you know? We were fine with it, and I thought, it's not for everyone. This is a calling. But I'm really excited. I really believe that that is going to move forward, and that there's just going to be so many open doors of opportunity.
Just kind of be bold.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's right.
And honest.
You know. So
that's exciting. It's a whole different element of spirit.
Yeah. Yes.
That's a good preventative element. Very
that's
much
the goal.
A, yeah.
Yeah, but you know, there's no one else telling them.
Yeah.
What, like, how this can work, or what type of design is that, you know, it doesn't have to be this series of broken relationships. And one of the lessons was talking about, like, rights and responsibilities, like, and I was like, you need to teach them this refusal skills lesson. Like, because girls don't know how to say no. And they don't know that just because somebody took you to dinner doesn't mean you're obligated to offer them anything physically. Like, they, no one has ever said that to them. So, you know, I'm not going to say that everybody's going to change their mind about it, but we're going to play a beat.
You're right.
It's hard for us, for me to understand this because, you know, I never grew up anywhere close to this. The majority of these people in this church have never flown. So what you're saying is just hard to believe. I mean, I know it's, you know, you've got to start somewhere, but this is all the problems, you know. It's in the home, and life doesn't mean anything. I'm just thinking, they kill babies, you know, in the womb, and if they live long enough, they shoot them somewhere else. So life is not of no value and I just think about how do you come up with a normal family that can raise their children? And this group is so far from that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I guess you take every approach you can, and I'm glad to hear Flatline's there and Eric's involved because he was with SBA and he had already been involved.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I just thank you for your heart and your patience and your willingness to get in the middle of the fight.
Literally.
Wow. Do you work with any other parents?
Not right now. I mean, no, not right now. I do have a dream of going into churches and talking to parents about how to talk to our kids, because I think the other, like, kind of unspoken issue here is that often parents are silent, so even kids in churches aren't given the language or the tools, because parents are so terrified of talking about sex with their kids that I don't think we're doing well in the church with this issue either. So my dream is to go into churches and to give parents pep talks. You know, like let's do the hard thing.
What would it take for you or the minister to do this?
Time. I need some time.
More people.
More people.
Cookie cutter, Bethany.
Yeah.
To get you some help to do this.
Yeah.
And if you don't start with the children.
That's right. Yeah.
It's just a big problem down the road.
And it's not even just, you know, if we could just hire more people, we could do this all right now. You know, there's a capacity and, like, healthy growth speed. And I just keep thinking, well, if God has given us dreams to do certain things, then we're going to just follow as He provides and step into that. So, you know, we'll get it.
I've been hearing about baby boxes. This is a whole different kind of work than what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything like that here?
No, and you know, I've looked into this, Tom, because this has been asked a few times. And unfortunately, I've looked up, Alabama's safe haven laws are really not good. So our current safe haven laws would not allow for baby boxes.
Really?
So even if somebody wants to start an initiative to get those installed in fire stations in Alabama, you would have to first go to the state legislature and change the current safe haven laws. In Alabama, you have to surrender the baby. So just backtrack. Safe haven laws are what gives a woman a right to surrender her baby without criminal prosecution of abandonment. So it's to decrease the number of babies that are just abandoned. That happens alarmingly frequently because there is severe postpartum depression. There's lack of support. A lot of women are not right in their minds. It's not like they're just horrible people, although I'm sure there are also horrible people. But the number of reasons that go into abandonment are many. So each state has their own safe haven laws that allows a mom to, within a certain amount of time, after having the baby, to surrender the baby. And in most states, it's either to, like, a fire station, a police station, or a hospital within a certain time frame. A lot of those are 30 to 60 days. And that you can do that and you won't be prosecuted, and that baby will probably go into foster care or might go into an adoption system. In Alabama, our law is that it's 72 hours after birth and only surrendered to a hospital. So that means that you gotta make up your mind before you even leave the hospital. And just based on my personal experience, you have no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew, obviously, but I had significant support. So I would like to see, a better, a more generous, maybe safe haven law in our state, whether or not there's baby boxes to come alongside that and to dovetail with it, like that baby boxes are these things that they'll put in a fire station so that you can surrender the baby and alarm goes off if you put the baby in the box. you can surrender the baby without any personal human contact. So it's less shameful for the woman. I think it's 8 states that allow for that now. Mm-hmm. So you have to really amend your state baby laws. I think it would be a good start for Alabama to just mm-hmm. change the current state baby laws. So. Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Names up here.
All right, well, we have your prayer request here. Is there anything else that you can think of before we go to a time of prayer? trying to decide how. We have another big extension we're praying through. So just pray for that. I will not open that.
I know that happened. I just had to talk to Bill Thompson yesterday.
Oh, good. Okay. You're in the loop. Okay. Great. Yeah. It's a whole other can of worms. It's great. It's all good.
Who at Trinity is on the board now?
Sarah Bear Spooner. Hold on. Alyssa Johnson, Caroline
Roldoff. Okay.
Caroline Roldoff. Wait, isn't there another one? Hold on.
Alyssa Johnson.
Alyssa Johnson, Caroline Roldoff.
I need to put you on the spot.
No, I'm just
looking around the table.
What about the man who's on? No, that's not him.
He's the child angels. Is that true, Craig?
No, there was somebody else that's married. Connection there.
Oh, gosh.
It's through a friend, and I'm.
Yeah.
It's with you or somebody. So. Yeah.
You had somebody choose life. Like, life decision yesterday? Yesterday? Is that last weekend? I remember.
So what's really great is that now the whole staff has access to the prayer team.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Because that could be coming from anybody.
Okay.
It's not just coming from me. Right? Well, I was like, y'all, we have a prayer team.
Yeah.
We should use it. Let's send out those prayer requests.
Yeah. I got it yesterday, and I was so encouraged that prayed, and then, she chose to have life. So that was, I don't know how you do this, but it's a blessing that we can give that request right then, and the Lord sends you
first. All right, we can go to a time of prayer. Bubba, if you don't mind opening up, time of close, anybody who wants to pray.
Lord, we just thank you again this morning that we can listen to Bethany and what's going on with First Choice, but Lord, I go back to save a life, and that's what it's all about, saving lives. And we just thank you for the work that's going on, and just the heart and passion that Bethany has to make a difference. So, Lord, I look at this situation that we're in our country, it can be very discouraging, but Lord, we know that you're in charge, and you have a master plan, and I just pray that we might see a revival in our country with people turning back to you and understanding what real life is. And real life is turning our lives over to you and living for you and living a life that is godly and really has a purpose. So I thank you again for all the different things that are going on, not just with the ultrasounds are so important, but being able to work with these families, to parent them for the men's ministry, I thank you for that. And particularly this school program, to go into the schools and to make a difference. So, Lord, we all need to be taking a stand and getting the truth of whenever we have an opportunity to do that. And I can get so discouraged when I watch the news and see what a sad situation my country could be in, yet I forget about all the people that know you, love you, and are out there sharing just like Bethany. So I just thank you for this time with her. I just thank you for her encouragement, what's going on, and Lord, that we can be a part of it. We here at Trinity can be involved right here in our own community to make a difference in life. So I praise you and thank you in Christ's name.
Dear Lord, thank you for allowing us to be here this morning and hear about the work at First Choice. And thank you for Bethany and her passion and her
everything she does, Lord, and her vision, and just pray that you will be with the expansion at First Choice. Pray that you will be with the school program at Candy. Give her the boldness that she needs and the protection she needs when she goes into the schools, Lord. And we just ask that you will open doors, open hearts. We ask that you continue to be with the legislation, both in the state and nationwide, Lord. We pray that that in spite of that, Lord, the most important thing is to change people's hearts, Lord. So we just ask that you will be with us today and lead us in your life in Christ.
Father, we pray that you especially have power to be able to speak to these women to keep their babies. Spirit really be strong in them and guide them to touch these lives. Thank you, pray to you.
Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this time. We give you praise as the sovereign God. And as we look at the culture around us, sometimes it's easy to forget that you are sovereign, and yet our hearts ache as we see the discord and the strife that's happening around us, and so little value placed on life, and how so many people have just completely turned away from the standards that were at least accepted here in the past. Not that everyone would follow Jesus, but we've strayed so far from standards of your word and your truth. Thank you for First Choice and for Bethany and those who work with her and for the board and the vision they have to continue to speak truth into the lives of people who find themselves pregnant, of men who are part of that. And I pray that you continue to provide the human resources, provide the financial resources, provide the opportunities. Thank you for Candy Wagner and just the way that you've shaped her even to do this. And I pray that you would open doors for her in these schools. Thank you for Eric Armstrong to be a part of that even, and just the credibility and his presence there in the midst of potential violence that seems to erupt so frequently, so easily. I pray for the women who are continually calling First Choice about abortions or just whatever that they're requesting. I pray that you would use those calls to enable them to hear the truth, and that as they do that your spirit would work in hearts and change hearts and lives. Lord, we look at so many things around us and can only thank you for the grace that you give us, the enabling you give us, the sense of purpose that you give us to see you glorified. And I pray that you continue to provide First Choice in that, even as each of us would serve you in the ways in which you've appointed for us today. Help us to be faithful and good stewards of that grace. In Christ's name we ask. Amen.
Amen.